Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the election illusion, the illusion that Joe Biden is in fact president-elect. He is not president-elect. It will be a misnomer. It would be something that would be untrue to officially use that title for Joe Biden. Joe Biden is former vice president, failed in everything that he's done politically for 50 years, and is the one that has been declared the winner by the media and by the social media, as well as the socialist communist media, the fake media, but he is not president-elect. Congressman, before we get back to our conversation, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the call or question, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis, how are you?
Great, Brother Davis. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Everything is well. I thank God for, the hard work that you're doing, the commitment that you have, that you're trying to provide us with the truth to remedy the confusion such as that came from the other caller. And I think that's the end goal of the Democratic Party, to keep confusion stirred up out there. And I also thank God for Representative Hill. He kind of confirmed basically everything that you said, and even more. I mean, I can't better, anything that was already put out there. But I just want to say to that other gentleman, how dare you attack a minister of the gospel when the word of God clearly says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. He's only trying to provide us with the truth that would help remedy some of this confusion that's out there. So if you listen up carefully, maybe you will be able to get something that will be able to help you along in this situation. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Dr.
Well, Brother Davis, thank you for that comment and for your compliment. I'm humbled by that. But let me simply say this. There are many people, multitudes of people, that do not have the intellectual prowess, the intellectual ability to have dialogue and discussion on an issue without being condescending and condemning of the messenger. I've become accustomed to it for over a half century in facing the issues and dealing with theological, doctrinal, biblical, as well as social and political issues. And I've been kind of accustomed to it for all of these years to find that when an individual doesn't have the intellectual ability to have the conversation, that somehow, some way, they just simply attack the messenger. I believe Joseph is on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I believe there are multiple sources feeding this election illusion, and it has become satanically strong, and I believe it'll take massive, irrefutable evidence to break the delusion, illusion, and of course God is the only one capable of that. I believe the Supreme Court needs to weigh in, and if they have the authority, hopefully they can delay the electoral college vote until these issues can be thoroughly investigated.
Well, it is my prayer that that will be the case. It is my prayer that work that is taking place now with a team, a battery of well-trained constitutional attorneys and Sidney Powell and others, that Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, et cetera, that have major knowledge of the constitutional rules and regulations, guidelines, and laws for election process. And what we have seen taking place since way before November the 3rd, we've watched with horror as we've seen leaders, i.e., those in the election office and secretaries of state, et cetera, by fiat institute rules and regulations and guidelines to accept ballots that are not acceptable, to set up guidelines that are not authoritative. And it is only, you're right, it is only the Supreme Court that has the authority to rule against that and to declare these elections to be null and void. Now, the probability, let me just meander for a moment for our listeners as well as for your comment. It is wonderful that we see this taking place, but as I've said for many, many, many weeks now, that President Trump will not win this election unless it goes into the hands of the Supreme Court. Supreme Court happens to be the body that is capable of interpreting and making a ruling on what is constitutional, the constitutionality of this election. And as we have seen in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona and Nevada and Georgia, et cetera, we've seen major, major irregularities because only for our listeners to understand, if I can emphasize again, only the legislative body has the authority to change the election laws. And it's only through that process does it become legal, enforceable, and these rules and regulations, in fact, even to the point of allowing felons to vote in Georgia, that's illegal, even to the point of allowing ballots to come in without a matching of the signature, that's unconstitutional and illegal. And one of the primary things that I believe is so concerning for me and should be for others is for multitudes, hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of ballots going out before the election, as the congressman said just a few minutes ago, 180 days before the election, and it has to be within a period of time closer to the election, but they were getting prepared. They were loading their guns then for that potentiality of trying to overwhelm the system with the illegal votes. In fact, I'm looking at an article here. It says, Michigan lawsuit, election workers coached voters to pick Biden, and it goes on to talk about how in the system, the election officials would coach the people to put it here, sign here, mark this, et cetera, et cetera. So you're exactly right, and it's my prayer, and I've said this now for quite some time, it's my prayer that God will intervene and give us a Donald J. Trump reelection, as I believe, with almost somewhere between 74 and 80 million votes. That's the number of votes that President Donald J. Trump received. It's an impossibility for that number to have been over that, overshadowing that by Joe Biden. In fact, one article I have here says, if you believe Biden won, you've suspended reality, end quote. And that's exactly what I say to any listeners, any of our listeners. Thank you so much for your call, for your insight. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up. I believe that when everything is said and done, President Donald J. Trump will be sworn in January the 20th of 2021. That's my prayer. That's my view of it. I believe that is my opinion, and I believe that opinion can withstand the scrutiny of those that are Biden followers and believe that somehow, some way, the fake, phony, false news is telling us the truth. Thank you so much, Joseph, for your call today. We're talking about the election illusion. Congressman, are you still with us?
I am. Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Wonderful. You heard the comments by the caller. What is your position? I'm looking at an article that talks about the polling in Georgia. One says, Georgia polling manager tells lawmakers about boxes filled with pristine ballots. Are you familiar with that, where the so-called mail-in ballots were fresh out of boxes that had never been folded, evident they had never been mailed, that they were popped out and run through the machine?
Yes, I have heard of that, Dr. Youngblood, which makes it them an impossibility of being valid ballots. How can they not have been folded? Because they had to have been folded to be placed in the envelope to be mailed to the constituent, who then had to sign them, mark the ballots, and then mail them back. They had to have been folded. But here we have poll watchers who, by the way, were obstructed from watching some of the poll counting take place. But what they could see, They saw that they were in pristine condition. The other thing they saw, Dr. Youngblood, is that the bubbles where you mark your selection were perfectly made. In other words, it looked like a machine had done them, that it didn't look like they were handwritten in. They were perfectly made, and every single one of them were for Biden. Utterly amazing. And I suspect you and your listeners have also seen by now, Dr. Youngblood, the video of at the State Farm Arena there in Georgia where they were counting the ballots, where the poll supervisor came in and told everyone, go home. We're not going to count anymore tonight. We'll come back tomorrow morning to finish. And then when everyone left, they did not know cameras were rolling. It showed that when everyone left, about five people stayed behind and started pulling boxes from underneath the table and started inserting them in the ballot machines, continuing to count ballots illegally and wrongfully. This is just in Georgia alone. They have been caught red-handed cheating, Dr. Youngblood.
I find it absolutely fascinating that God's still in charge. They didn't realize that, as I called it, the eye in the sky was looking at them, and that is used in relationship to the CCTV, closed-circuit TV, for the security cameras there. In fact, I'm looking at that article as you speak. It says, Georgia State Farm Arena footage shows poll workers staying behind, pulling out suitcases with ballots. And I've watched that video several times to get a good feel of it. This article says, President Donald Trump's legal team on Thursday presented surveillance footage to a Georgia State Legislature hearing that appeared to show election ballots ballot counting workers kicking out poll observers late at night on election day before pulling out what appeared to be suitcases filled with ballots. A woman identified herself as Jackie, a lawyer who is assisting the legal team legal case, said the team received video footage from the State Farm Arena's vote tabulation center in Fulton County. The team said the GOP poll watchers were not allowed to watch the counting process in the poll center. And you're exactly right, because it says in this article that at 10 o'clock they were told to leave. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe those poll workers are now saying, no, nobody's ever kicked out of the arena. But you can watch with your own eyes as you see all of a sudden a scrambling takes place, and all of a sudden everybody leaves. But I believe there was either four or five workers left there. What is it that you see in that footage, and what is it you understand took place after the poll watchers were kicked out, and they said they're shutting down? Did they shut down? Did they remain there? Did they continue to count ballots? And what was the end result of that?
Yes, what we saw, Dr. Youngblood, in that video is that not everyone left, but that about four or five stayed behind. And as you said, they started pulling boxes and suitcases from underneath the table that had ballots in them. And they started putting those ballots through the machine, counting them. Where in any one machine can count up to 3,000 votes in an hour. So here they are with five different machines, and they were putting those ballots in there, which were unverified ballots, by the way. They were just pulled out. No one was there to verify the signature that was supposed to have been on those ballots with the voters. That's a requirement that we have, but that wasn't done. And not only in Georgia, it was not done in Michigan, where in Michigan, overnight, tens of thousands of ballots arrived with no signature verification, and they were placed in the counting machines. And there is a poll watcher who signed an affidavit, which, by the way, an affidavit is a legal document that can be used in court proceedings, where the person who signed that affidavit under penalty of perjury is saying that what I am stating is valid, accurate, and true. When it's under a penalty of perjury, if you are indeed lying, that is a felony, and you can go to jail, I know in Florida, for a minimum of 5 years.
That's right.
So they have tens of thousands of affidavits signed, where people are saying, hey, I swear on penalty of perjury that I saw this happen. And there were poll watchers in Michigan who testified and have sworn affidavits that they saw these ballots arriving overnight in boxes, and all of the votes were going for Biden, 100%. That is a statistical impossibility.
Impossibility completely. And you make that statement about those ballots. They started after they kicked the poll watchers out at 10 o'clock. They started then about 2-3 minutes after the people at poll watchers had been chased out, as I call it. And as you say, on the security cameras at the State Farm Arena, the footage shows that they started sliding out roller cases. I call them suitcases. They say that that's the way they packed the ballots in the state, but let's nevertheless call it suitcases, rolling them out, carrying them over to the machine, start feeding them in. And several people have statistically talked about the numbers, how many ballots can be fed into each machine. They had about 5 machines, and how many ballots can be fed into each machine per minute. And they started feeding them in at shortly after 10 o'clock and went through 1 o'clock and said somewhere between 18 and 30,000 ballots were fed into those machines. And as you said, all of them happened to pop up for Joe Biden. In fact, here's one says, the Georgia polling manager tells lawmakers about the box with pristine ballots. A polling manager in Fulton County, Georgia state lawmaker on Thursday said she opened up a box of ballots to find a batch of 110 that had never been folded. That goes back to the folding ballots. And then from this article about the footage, this is what one article says. Georgia governor says suitcase container video is concerning, and he wants answers from the Secretary of State. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp noted that the video showing suitcase-filled container ballots filled with the containing ballots being wheeled out from under tables in Fulton County on election night after poll workers departed the location is a concern and needs explanation from election officials. This is coming from Brian Kemp. Further, the article says Kemp, a Republican, described the footage that was presented to by President Donald Trump's team at a Georgia state legislative hearing Thursday as very concerning. He called the Secretary of State to address the video, and Trump's lawyers, according to Trump's lawyers, quote, certainly Laura today was concerning. I think we were working right now, and hopefully the Secretary of State will update us on exactly what's going on, etc. It is concerning and brings about a state of consternation in my mind that these things could take place, and yet the socialist Marxist media would have us to believe there's no evidence. And just as you said, a sworn affidavit is evidence in any court of law. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, if I can repeat myself with the redundancy, of those signed sworn affidavits, which is more than enough evidence, and it needs to be presented to in a courtroom. What is your thought, Congressman, as to where this is going? We're talking about in Georgia, but it then includes all of these other states with a similar problem, but not nearly as evident as in the state of Georgia right now. But what are the steps that you foresee taking place, and where is it going?
Well, I think what we're going to see happen next, Dr. Youngblood, is, as you stated, it will probably get to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we are seeing in several states right now, I know Arizona, and I believe Georgia and Pennsylvania, have called for the legislative body to determine who the electors are of that state. Now, typically how electors are chosen, let me say this is how it works in Florida, is that each party is able to choose who their electors are for your state. And the number of electors you have in your state are determined by your population. Okay, so Florida has its Democrat Party choose their electors and a Republican Party choose their electors. And then whoever wins the popular vote in that state, then whichever party they belong to, either Democrat or Republican, then that party's electors are the ones who are to vote for that state. So in other words, if Trump, who did win in Florida, then the Republican electors are the ones who are chosen for that state. Okay, well, in places like Georgia and Arizona, where we're seeing all this fraud coming in, and it looks like that Biden had more votes than President Trump, that means that the Democrat Party electors would be the ones who would make their selection for that state. And what these state legislators are saying, and they have full constitutional authority to do this.
That's right.
Is to say that instead of this popular vote, because of fraud being done, saying who the electors are, this body of elected officials, we are going to decide who the electors are. And in each of these states, there is a majority of Republican legislators who would be able to determine who the electors are, which would likely be Republican, and therefore it would be Republican votes coming from those states, giving President Trump enough electors to reach the 271 and then be declared the president.
Absolutely, and it's not just, as we said, not just in Georgia, but Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, etc. I'm looking at an article about Nevada. It says 2,468 votes by voters that legally changed their address to another state or county. Approximately 42,000 voters who voted twice in the Nevada election. Approximately 1,500 voters listed as deceased by the Census Bureau. Approximately 20,000 Nevada voters with a non-Nevada mailing address. Approximately 6,000 United States Postal Service flags on vacant addresses. And that's the norm for all of these states. But speak to the issue, Congressman. I believe the Supreme Court's already involved in the case in Pennsylvania, where Judge Justice Alito has given a deadline of today for them to proffer information or defense. Are you familiar with that? And if so, tell us what is working there.
That's right. Yeah, what Justice Alito has done is he has given them a sped-up timeline in order to bring the certification of their results to the Supreme Court. It was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Youngblood, but I thought it was December 9th. Maybe it was December 7th. At 3 p.m., and he has instead sped it up and say, hey, I want to see it by 9 a.m., certified results, so that a determination can be made to their authenticity and if, in fact, they are indeed accurate. And what we've been talking about, Dr. Youngblood, is only the hardened ballots themselves. We haven't been talking about these voting machines, which we know have been rife with fraud. And I've been reading some things, Dr. Youngblood, which just seem fantastic, almost unbelievable, of how the CIA director, Gina Haspel, has been wounded in Germany when there was an attempt to go and secure some of these voting machines overseas in a German facility. And that five soldiers were killed in this incident. Like I said, I'm not sure of the veracity of what I have been reading, but they seem to be coming from credible sources. But it just seems to be unbelievable and incredible what we are seeing happening with this election, Dr. Youngblood. And I believe what we are seeing, and I praise God for this, is that President Trump has revealed the fraud which has been too prevalent in our election cycles, not just this election. I believe in a 2018, 2016, 2012, and even a 2008 election when Obama was first elected, the Democrats have been working on this for quite some time, and President Trump has been the one to expose it for the entire world to see.
Absolutely not. And all of this that we're talking about now, the fake media is not saying anything about it. In fact, if you listen to CNN News, in fact, on, I believe it was yesterday afternoon's discussion on CNN, one of the female hosts on the Communist Network News interviewing two women, one of them happened to be the discredited niece of President Trump, and they end the conversation. They were setting up a false scenario. They said, wonder what President Trump is going to do now that he's lost the election. And one of them says, well, I believe that he's going to pack his bags and skip the country. I believe he's literally going to leave America because of embarrassment and shame of what he's done and destroying our nation, et cetera, et cetera. And they just bounce it back and forth with fake, phony, false postulation. And that's what the general public hears. The general public today, in my opinion, Congressman, the general public has no earthly idea of the reality of the status of this election. I was talking with a lady in our church yesterday, and she said that she was out walking on the beach on, I believe it was on a Saturday, and said that she just struck up a conversation with a lady and had a very pleasant conversation. Then she interjected in the conversation, well, what do you think about the election? And this other person, this woman, said, well, Joe Biden won. Don't you know that? And she said, no, he hasn't won. It has not been determined. And this woman was in a total state of consternation. She did not know that Joe Biden was not the de facto winner. She had no earthly idea that there was a debate or some court cases going on in relationship to that. It is sad.
It's unbelievable, Dr. Youngblood. But what we are seeing is that other platforms are very quickly arising to compete with this fake news. We see online a program called Parler and Rumble, which are taking over YouTube and Facebook. And then we are seeing such news outlets as OANN, who are taking the place of CNN, where what they are doing is being very objective in presenting the news and not jumping to conclusions or their own narrative. What we are seeing in America right now is a news media, big tech and big pharma, who are all against our sitting president and have attempted a coup which they were not successful at. And if anything that we saw was at that rally Saturday night in Georgia, Valdosta, Georgia, yes, where those Trump supporters were out there, and when you saw them chanting, fight for Trump, that's exactly what's going to happen in this nation, Dr. Youngblood, and I'm going to declare right now that President Trump is going to be sworn in for a second term as President of the United States.
Amen, brother. In fact, it causes me to think, and I'll use this as our closing statement, ladies and gentlemen, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, Nehemiah challenges his people. He's already challenged them to rise up and build in chapter 2, verse 18, and he says in chapter 4, verse 20, our God shall fight for us. And that is the challenge that I have, Congressman, to you and to our listeners. I believe that President Donald J. Trump will be sworn in January the 20th of 2021 because our God is going to fight for us. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
5 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.